This Monday.com ad was created by a team of people and AI agents. The agents wrote the copy and managed the timelines, while our human creative director made sure it all made sense. Easy. Create your own AI agent today on Monday.com.
Houston, standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Jordan Alvarez crushes one high and deep. Forget about it. 44 just mashes the first pitch he sees tonight for his 35th home run of the year.
When he gets a hold of them, they go a long way. Hello, Houston.
Man, when he gets a hold of them, he sends it a long ways.
That's Jenny Kavnar, and I am Jeremy. Brian behind the glass. It's a Wednesday edition of the program. Lots to get to today. This might be the Twitcher's favorite show of the year.
Christmas.
We're going to hear a lot of Nick Caserio. Caseriomus, you might call it. We're going to hear a lot of D'Amico Ryans. We're going to hear a little bit of C.J. Stroud. So many good things to get to. You mentioned the C.J. Stroud walk-in to training camp video yesterday.
Yeah.
Which had like 7.7 million views at the time. I think it's probably that number has jumped up to 18.5 million views.
That's awesome.
We didn't realize it in the time, but the reason that it has that many views is because everybody's clowning them.
Yeah. Yeah, they're making fun of them.
Yeah, they're making fun of them, which we'll get to a little bit of that a little bit later. Like Antonio Brown has been talking about it. Lots of people have been talking about it, so we'll talk about it. It is National Chicken Wing Day, so it's my Christmas. I'm going to have to partake a little bit later, I think. And then also the Houston Astros win a baseball game yesterday. They take the series in the City of Angels.
Chase the fight.
Chasing 500. A win today would get them to 500 on the year. But you heard the clip. Todd Callis, our dear friend, who we'll talk to on Friday. Jordan Alvarez is a bad mofo. 35th homer of the year. You heard the big thud off the bat, which I wonder what they had the volume cranked up to, because that sounded like, that sounded like oak against oak. That sounded awesome. But then Jordan Alvarez gets pitched to in the ninth inning, delivers the go-ahead run, turned into the game-winning RBI, and the Astros win 3-2. And Jordan Alvarez is a freak show.
Yeah, he is. He's incredible, and I get why their manager is only on a one-year contract, because what is he doing?
He's on a one-year contract?
Yeah, they only signed him to a one-year deal.
I did not know that.
Why would you pitch to him one night and not the other one? I guess and vice versa. Like you chose not to the day before. Mm-hmm. Then last night, you'll walk him again, right? But they don't, and they pay for it because he's the MVP. He continues to prove why he's the MVP. He is so clutch. It's why we had that discussion last week about the most clutch players in sports, and he's up there. Because no, he's not going to come through every single time, but it sure feels like he does, man. Where it's just up in that situation, he's going to hit a base hit. He's going to bring in the game-winning run. And the Astros are almost back to 500.
What is that Daryl Morey quote that he used to have that, like, hey, a blackjack player, he either always has to hit on 16 or never hit on 16?
I think that's correct, yeah.
That's kind of what you have to do with Jordan Alvarez. Like, if you make the decision at the start of the series, we're not going to let this guy beat us, and then the first game you're like, okay, we're going to do that, and then Isak Paredes, after an 11-pitch plate appearance, wears one, right? And it leads the go-ahead run to score. Actually, it was a tying run. Then you shouldn't let that influence your decision the next day. And I think it influenced Kurt Suzuki's decision. Is like, okay, here's our plan at the start of the series. It didn't work out for us in game one, so now we're going to flip the script and we're going to pitch to him. To me, that's bad logic. I think I wouldn't pitch to him, even though it didn't work in game one. Like, whatever. You have to just tip your cap to Isak. And if I'm going to tip my cap at the end of a game because somebody beat me, I'm going to tip it to Isak and not Jordan Alvarez.
100%.
I thought it was a terrible decision by Kurt Suzuki. We'll forgive him. We'll let him off the hook. Thank you for doing it. But, yeah, terrible, terrible decision by Kurt Suzuki, IMO. And look, just because like Isak Paredes came through on Monday, that doesn't mean that it was the wrong decision. Like, no. You have no idea what Jordan would have done in that at bat. Isak tied it, right? After a long battle where a backed up breaking ball clips him. Jordan might have sent it 415 feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, like, it's to me, it was reactionary, a very bad decision, but I am thankful that he did it and also thankful he's not the manager of the Houston Astros.
Yeah, very thankful. Yeah, we thank him for his service, for helping the Astros win last night's game. It was the wrong decision, but ultimately, at the end of the day, it's the Astros who came through. It's Yordan Alvarez, that home run, which you're right, that sounds amplified.
Oh,
The home run. And, like, people were pulling this Ohtani one right away where it sounded just as crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what they're doing. Is that the Yordan?
That's so loud.
It's so loud.
I wonder, like, it's hard to get the levels right, like, until you have, like, real game noise. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, before you hear a crack of the bat, it's hard to get the levels just right. Like, you can test it out pregame, but there's nobody there. No one's making a lot of noise.
Yeah, I mean, it's also amplified during the game because there's also no one there. There's also not a lot of noise.
Right, but I'm sure they turned it down whenever they Yordan's home run. You know what I mean? Like, that probably peaked the levels. But, like, that was the first real contact that you had because I think Pena struck out, didn't he? So, like, was your test.
How many games now to get the levels right?
Well, it's different. It's different every game. It's different every game. And you're in different ballparks, so, like, what you're getting is going to sound totally different, too. Like, I don't even know if the Astros travel a truck. You know, I think that they might have to take in the audio from what the Angels feed them, which that's going to get, you know, amplified, all that stuff as we go inside baseball. Like, yeah. It changes by the day. It really does.
Yeah, it's a good win last night. They're almost
it's a good
back.
Win.
They're chasing the fight. They're actually chasing the fight now.
Yeah. It sucks that the Dodgers. Yeah.
Chase the fight.
Lost to the Mariners, and the Rays, the best team in the American League, lose to the Rangers.
Yeah, what's going on?
What's up with that?
That's not how this is supposed to work.
No. I do want to tip my cap to Nick Allen, though, for being the spark that we all know that we needed. He's the hero we didn't know we needed. He pinch hits for Taylor Trammell, who can never play against lefties, by the way. He's dreadful for lefties. I know that Joe Espada is doing the, oh, he had a great game. I reward guys with good games. No, Taylor Trammell doesn't hit lefties.
No, he does
you can
not.
Reward him the next time that a righty starts. You don't reward him the next day if there's a lefty. It got so bad, Taylor Trammell versus lefties yesterday, Joe, that they went to Nick the Stick Allen off the bench because they thought he was a better option against a lefty than Taylor Trammell. And it turns out that Joe Espada was right, and it turns out that Nick the Stick Allen sparked the rally that ultimately led to the Yordan Alvarez game-winning RBI. So just a tip of the cap to Nick the Stick.
Yeah, also, I'll tip my hat to the third base coach. For not sending Nick the Stick there.
Oh, I think that was a bad stop.
I think in that situation, I'm not risking it with Yordan Alvarez coming up to the plate.
Yeah, Yordan wasn't coming up to the plate.
I know, but like in the near future, he was.
Yeah, I think that was a bad stop.
You think so?
I think that he easily scores.
He doesn't look quick.
No, it's not that he's quick, but he was already rounding third whenever Joe Adele like picked up the baseball.
Like, he's got a little bit of a rocket though, so I kind of appreciate the fact that they didn't send him there. I'll be on the opposite side of you on that one.
Chica. I'm not a big fan. Like, I get your logic, though. Like, you have a runner at third, one out. You have Pena coming up. You have Yordan coming up. I've called them the best 1-2 in all of baseball. So I totally understand, like, okay, we're going to let those guys win the game. So, like, I get it. Like, I'm not going to die on this Taos Hill. I think it's a good point from that front. I just think if you look at it in a vacuum, would Nick Allen have scored on that play? I think it's a pretty resounding yes.
Yeah. Maybe, but I for this instance appreciate the pause. Just because I trust Peña and Yordan more than I trust Tony to make the right decision there.
I don't trust Tony.
So I just rather leave it in the hands of the good people on the team.
Fair. I get it. Lambert started the game. Obviously, the hero, the storyline is the freak show that is Yordan Alvarez. But your ace, Philip Lambert, 2 runs, 7 hits, a walk, 6 Ks, 5 innings. What'd you make of Lambert, who his ERA, I guess, would have jumped yesterday. What'd I call him?
You call him Philip?
That's his first name, Philip.
It is?
Philip Lambert. No, it's Peter, but I like to call him
Philip. Okay, I was like, what? I was confused.
It's P. Lambert. I just make up first names whenever, you know.
All right.
Sometimes I change names with the first initial.
Okay.
You know.
We learned that yesterday.
Yeah. Philip Lambert, your ace. 3.06 ERA, but what'd you make of his start yesterday? What'd you think?
It's good. Like he's given up 13 hits in his last two games, but he never really feels like he's in danger. You know, like he had the one inning yesterday, but he doesn't let it turn. You have multiple guys on, one run scores. They don't blow up those innings. A run scores, but it doesn't turn into a 3-4-5 run inning like it does for so many guys on the Astros and in Major League Baseball. He's just really consistent. And the strikeout stuff was working well yesterday. I like him a lot.
Yeah, he's good.
I'm really in on Lambert.
Yeah, same. I'm a fan of him. He's really good at pitching the baseball. Good outing. I mean, this is kind of what like you kind of expect from him. 5-6 innings, 2-run baseball. I thought it was a good good decision by Espada pulling him. Like he probably could have given you or at least the start of the sixth inning, but it's like he labored through the fifth. He's at 90 pitches. It felt like a natural time to take him out. So I give kudos to Joe Espada. You could make the case that he could have started the sixth, see where he takes you, but he goes to the bullpen. All right, I like it. And then the bullpen just absolutely shoved. Mm-hmm. 4 no-hit innings following that. 4 perfect innings, too. They didn't give up a walk either, which is a miracle with De Los Santos, Abreu, Okert, and Hader pitching. So good decision there by Espada. Good decision pitching at Allen. This might have been one of the better Joe Espada managerial games mm-hmm. in quite some time. Hader, by the way, 4 appearances in 5 days.
Oof.
That has my attention. Probably won't pitch today. I was surprised to see him pitch yesterday. And I was like, coming into the game, because he was a little bit nervy on Monday.
He was.
So he was nervy on Monday. It's like, okay, this is some uncharted territory for Josh Hader this year. 4 appearances in 5 days is something that they try to avoid. And I was a little nervous because after that and that he was nervy on Monday, I was a little nervous. And then Josh Hader just goes 3 up, 3 down and needs a total of 4 pitches. 4 pitches to retire the Angels in order in the bottom of the ninth.
Yeah, give him the day off today. He got an off day tomorrow, so give him 2 days off. He does not need to be out there today.
No.
I'm with you. I was surprised to see him out there because we've talked about his workload, and they're not going to not going to use him in 2 innings, all those different things this year that we know, and I think they're handling that correctly. So I was just surprised that it was the situation. I do think yesterday was kind of a insight of what a playoff game could look like, where your starter goes 5, and some order of De Los Santos, Abreu, Okert, and Hader are the guys that are responsible for giving the next 4 innings of the game and can help you win playoff games if you end up making it.
This is the recipe. Like pitchers or managers have short leashes on their pitchers usually in the playoffs. This would be the recipe. And the bullpen's been much better. The bullpen's been much better. Hader came back, kind of stabilized things. Brian Abreu has been really good again.
Mm-hmm.
He looked dominant yesterday. He looked
Okert's really
really good. Everyday Okert. First call Okert, because he's the first. We won the first call yesterday. He's kind of taken Brian King's spot. Yeah, but I'm an Okert fan. He's really, really – he's a cool guy. There is one thing that Philip Lambert does. Yes, I'm intentionally calling Philip. That kind of annoys me. He hops on the mound a lot. Have you noticed this?
Okay, so I had not noticed this.
I saw it in the rundown. It's like the Easter Bunny out there.
I had not noticed it. I saw you put this in the rundown. Went back, was just watching the replay of the game. Now I'm never going to not be able to see it.
I think he's hurt every time he does it, too. Like, maybe it's because the Astros have conditioned me and PTSD'd me into thinking that everybody's hurt whenever they show any signs of, awkwardness.
Yeah.
He hopped. This guy's bouncing around like the Energizer Bunny.
Yeah, he's just enjoying his time out there.
I feel like he pops his Achilles every time he does it, too. It's just, it's a little jarring from time to time. But no, good win. Have you noticed these new Correa Mattress Mac commercials where he's on the recliner with his bare feet?
Yeah.
It's a weird commercial.
And this is
the
one where he's like, "You're hurt, and you came to us to get a chair."
Yeah, which I mean, I get why you would have Correa like in that commercial and like reclining and resting his foot, but the fact that he has his shoes off is kind of weird to me, and then the fact that Mattress Mac is kneeling at his feet. It's kind of weird to me. Like, why not just be like, his buddy next to him in his recliner, And maybe Correa has shoes on. Maybe he has a little bit of shoes on. I don't know. Just kind of a little odd.
It's
a little odd to me.
A little jarring the first time I saw it. I was like, oh, this is interesting. Like, they're really playing up. He's hurt. If you're hurt, these chairs are great for you. And then, you notice the feet and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
This is a little different.
I mean, I guess it's working because we're talking about Mattress Mac's commercial.
No, I think it's working.
He's a genius in marketing. Mattress marketing Mac. But just kind of odd. Correa barefooted, reclining his feet up, and Mattress Mac's there within an earshot of his big toe.
Yeah.
Just a little funny to me. This is what happens when you play 162 baseball games and you watch 162 games on the shin, is these commercials start to, They start to get to you a little bit. Like last year, the bases loaded promo where Hader and Brian King go on a turkey hunt. He's like, crazy story. We shot a turkey. And it's like, okay, that's fun. And then you have like the Daily and Blacks were like, they were only offering me $5,000 on my roof and I didn't accept it. So I called Daily and Black and they gave me $9 million. What?
We have the the one with our friend Samantha Rico with
Peyton
this year as
those
well.
Those are hilarious, too, the leader.
Yeah.
The leader is telling Peyton, those are some MVP cuts. He's like, well, you're the leader. That commercial is hilarious to me.
They're so weird. Yeah.
Well, that's why they call you the leader. Oh, man, so good. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Plenty to get to today. A junkie, if teams were to give Yordan the prime Bonds treatment and walked him every at bat, would you move Pena behind him in the lineup or to protect him? I like what you're saying there. I like that idea. I'm not doing it yet, but if you're like, and it probably depends on some team success too. Mm-hmm. Like even if they're giving them Bond treatment, they're walking them every time. That's like any sort of leverage at bat, but you're winning games. I'm not going to mess with it. But if you go through a little bit of a funk and you're having trouble scoring and Yordan's just not getting pitched to at all, yeah, sign me up. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, I mean it's it'd be nice if they could lengthen the lineup to where you wouldn't have to feel. You have to do that at the deadline because I like the batting order a lot. I think it's a good argument. I would rather just keep it as is, to be honest.
Well, but, would you say the same thing if they were had a 2-5 week and they were scoring two runs a game?
Probably not.
That's the funk that I'm describing.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I mean, and who like so? Now this goes up a notch, right, in the postseason. The extra like people will be extra precautious. We assume with Yordan Alvarez. Are you making that change just like when you get there, or are you testing this a little bit?
No, I'd want to see. I mean, I'd want to see some looks at it first.
Yeah,
but again, I have to fall into a funk. Like I'm not doing it if I'm playing good ball and my offense is looking okay.
So it's only if you're playing poorly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if the offense, like these managers, they'll shake up the lineup because the offense is in a funk. Like that's the kind of like that moment is when I would consider it.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if they fall back into that and they're just pitching around Yordan all the time, giving him free base pass. Yeah, I'm open to it.
Okay. Any other things from the game yesterday?
No, I think we covered them all.
Okay.
Brian Abreu is nasty.
Brian Abreu, nasty. We'll get your thoughts on the Astros game if you should choose. DJ Bienemy, he'll be joining. He's not happy with me. He's not happy with my Texans pyramid. I had CJ. He's like, well, you didn't give me a good reason. I was like, well, I said that he sucked in the playoffs. You didn't give me a reason. No, I did. You just didn't like the reason. But we'll get to DJ. Not so much to argue. But first day of training camp today, his observations, some things that stood out to him, some day one takeaways, which we'll get to as well. Casario had some words. D'Amico had some words. Stroud had some words. Football's here. Football is here, and we love football. We'll get to that a little bit later. But coming up next, C.J. Stroud is getting crushed for the Houston Texans video of him walking into training camp. The admin did him dirty because it's got 18.5 million views and people are just crushing C.J. Stroud. The best of the insults of C.J. Stroud reporting to training camp yesterday coming up next. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Hang out with the Twitchers. They're happy today. A lot of Texan sound. They love it.
A fat guy in his underwear, yep. Living in his mother's basement.
In fact, we call him Texan Sound Twitch. That's how much they love Texan sound. YouTube, ESPN Houston. TikTok, ESPN 975. I was TikToking just before the show. Also Twitter. We're also on the Twitter. ESPN 975. Joe's at Joe George Radio. Brian's at Sack by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 975.
Houston's independent voice for sports. ESPN 975. To the Huntington Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
It's a White Boy Wednesday. Always remember in the morning, forget before our show, and then remember at 3, should be about 17, but 3:23 today.
Yeah.
did pick this song.
I told you. I remember in the morning, but then I go like do other stuff to break the respite, and like I went for a walk. I go for a workout. I got a new espresso machine, so I've been drinking espresso before the show. Today I went with a double shot.
A double shot?
Double shot espresso. What'd you say, Brian?
Is that a brag? Was that a flex?
Maybe, but I didn't mean it
that
way.
Out, I worked out. I got an espresso machine.
I got money.
Did you say espresso with an X there?
Is that espresso?
I don't know that you did.
Yeah, you always think that.
That's true. I am hard of hearing. I'm 50% deaf. No, I didn't mean it to be a flex. You could make the case that it was unintentionally. It was more that I'm like super caffeinated and kind of forget things. So always forget. It's White Boy Wednesday, even though I remember in the morning. So CJ Stroud, he'd like to forget this Houston Texans tweet yesterday.
Why?
Because they're dogging him.
Badly.
What do you mean, why?
Badly.
18.5 million views. They're all dogging him. So I went and I looked at some of these quote tweets, Joe, and just the best of the insults of one CJ Stroud. This is stuff that you wouldn't get on the flagship. You think the flagship would ever just read quote tweets of mean things that were being said about CJ Stroud?
No.
Yeah, this is why we're unique. Because we do things that nobody else will do, at least not in this city, at least not the flagships. So here, grade the joke, I guess. Maybe we can do that. NFL memes, quote tweet, bro threw 4 interceptions in the playoffs and lost every ounce of aura he had, crying emoji.
B minus.
That one's not even really a joke. Yeah, no, that one's just like a take and probably like a decent take.
It's just a sad truth.
Yeah. Like, I've been arguing with people on Twitter a lot lately, last couple days, about, like, Stroud entering the season. And, like, people have forgot the playoffs. Like,
I think, well, it's football season's back, so they're forgetting the bad.
Sarge making me watch that Patriots game the other day ruined, like, my excitement of CJ Stroud. But I refuse to forget the playoffs until he gives me reason to forget. So I'm not doing this all, we're so hopeful that C.J. Stroud. Last time that he played a football game, he single-handedly lost an opportunity for the Houston Texans to do something that has never been done in franchise history.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not forgetting that. Sorry. Maybe I carry grudges and other people don't. Sports by Dustin. Is this real? Bro looks like a JV offensive lineman. Great the joke.
B+.
B+?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's 1 through 10 scale.
Sorry.
I don't know why you're giving me a letter.
I don't know. You said grade it.
I think Joe should give letter grades because numbers, math.
B. Hintle, everything about this is just nasty.
4.
Trey G., he looked like he ran to lunch in high school.
9.
That's messed up.
Factual.
Dylan, he walks like he can't find his Cookie Monster hat.
9.5.
I'm not reading that one. Here's one from Antonio Brown, ABA4, which I thought he was in jail.
I thought so, too.
How's that guy tweeting?
Maybe he's tweeting from jail.
How was he tweeting? A guy looked like he just pooped his pants.
10.
He used a curse word. Shooter McGavin, Happy Gilmore showing up to the Waterbury Open vibes.
20 out of 10.
That one's pretty good. The Buckeye nut. Let's go, CJ. Buckeye Nation is behind you.
1.
NFL stats, playoff interceptions hit harder than a rock.
7.
DJ Bieniemy, who'll be joining us at 5 o'clock. Rocky's a big fan. Over 6.5 million views, LOL. CJ became this polarizing is fascinating.
I don't think it's polarizing.
No, I think it's just his fit and his gait, his natural gait.
Yeah.
You know?
He's not, I don't think he's polarizing. I think he's just largely disliked at this point. Or punching bag?
That, and to Jeremy's point, the way he's walking and the loose fit with the clothes just makes him look like not a pro athlete.
No.
No.
The way, like, if just pull, like, any random person that doesn't watch football, is that a pro athlete? Like, if they don't see the background, they wouldn't think that guy was a pro athlete?
No.
Tic Tac Titans, I have never seen aura loss of this magnitude, which, of course, they're going to take shots. Zach, a middle schooler, excited for his first day of school. He walks like the Joker dressed up as a nurse blowing up Gotham General Hospital.
I saw that joke a couple times, yeah. A lot of people have made that.
Mike Golick Jr., he's dressed like a guy who has been to training camp before, like a normal, absolute football take. A bro dressed like the old head that shows up to the courts and yells at you for not getting back on defense.
10 out of 10.
Yeah, that's a 10.
Every day makes it harder for you to remain a defender because what?
That feels extreme. But.
Walking in like he's got a full diaper.
9.
Worst gait in the league.
6.
Air raid Buffalo. I don't care how good their defense is. We can't lose to this man. This man.
You don't have to because they lost to Davis Mills.
If I say what I want to say, Kendra, Teddy Wynn is CJ dressed like a millennial lineman. He's taking his pass protection responsibilities serious. 6-year-old me on my way to tell my mom I threw up. He's getting crushed.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal.
He's getting crushed.
It's so I can't believe it. A walk-in video to training camp has nearly 20 million views.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure there's another quarterback in the league that could do this.
Wasn't sure if this was AI generated at first. Man, looks like he's about to get stuffed into a locker after homeroom. Texans stock market emoji down. Me walking into high school on Monday after losing 34-0 last Friday night. Yeah, man. He's getting crushed. This might be rock bottom for CJ. You know, the 4 interceptions in the playoff game, this might be worse.
Yeah, it's very – I forgot about this, but it's very similar to Bryce Young last year. Remember he showed up in, like, gym shorts, a T-shirt, and a backpack and looked like a toddler walking in? I'll see if I can find the video of it, but he just looked like a child walking to training camp. Now is CJ getting that grief?
Come on, Branham, don't tell the people that CJ walks like a toddler. He spent all day swimming. People shouldn't be saying he looks like an unathletic high school freshman about to play a pickup game with his friends in the church gym. They didn't teach CJ how to get dressed when he was taking his S2 test. We're not doing S2 jokes. We're not doing that with CJ. Just because he dresses poorly and he's, you know, a little bow-legged, we're not doing S2 jokes. Junkie, leave CJ alone, LMAO. Getting crushed, man.
Yeah, it's a tough day on these streets for these Twitter streets for CJ Stroud.
Tough day. Love flagpole sitter. Great choice from Branham. That's what I do. It's what I do. I'm the straw that stirs the drink. Yeah,
great
the
choice, and forgets he did it.
I did forget. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. We'll get to some real NFL stuff because we're football hardos. Nick Caserio had some things to say about Stroud. Stroud contract came up today, which Brian does our usually does our admin tweets. He always does them. I think I have a bone to pick with you, Brian. You say Texans and Stroud dismissive of contract distraction? Yeah. I don't know that I agree with that.
Okay, well, let's talk about it next segment.
I don't know that. That's what I was getting to. I was getting to the tease. If you get out of my way, I'd tease
you
it for you guys. I put it right here on the tease.
There was a big pause.
There was
it's
a
called
pause.
A dramatic pause. That's how you tease a segment.
You're not here.
You give the listeners a little bit of.
Joe, you want to throw it a break? Bait. I'm going to cut them off.
A little bait. 7137. I shouldn't have had the double. 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe. ESPN 97.5.
When you're not being a
play the TK one. Play the TK one. That one's better.
Since 1976, D&M Leasing has been open for business with one mission, making a vehicle easier, smarter, and more affordable than buying it the old-fashioned way. You can get into a brand-new lease vehicle in the next 24 to 72 hours if you give D&M Leasing a call at 713-290-1000. You can check out their full inventory on their website, dmautoleasing.com. The average car payment right now in America is about $800, and you're locked in for 8 to 10 years. You're going to be head over heels in negative equity. It's going to be a brutal process when you're ready to get rid of that car and get a new one. Don't do that. Lease a vehicle through D&M Leasing. You'll have that thing for 3 years. Then you can get a new one. If you qualify, you can get payments for as low as $400 a month. And if, when you go to the website, you say you heard about it from Joe George right here on ESPN 97.5, there's a chance that even I might deliver you your brand new vehicle to your house, your office. They'll tell me where to go, and I'll take it. Give them that call right now, 713-290-1000, or visit them at dmautoleasing.com.
ESPN 97.5.
I spent last night in the arms of a girl in Louisiana. Though I'm out on the highway, thoughts are still with her. Such a strange combination of a woman and a child. Such a strange situation, stopping every 100 miles, calling Baton Rouge.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Garth or George?
Who?
Oh my goodness.
Joe, I know the song.
Joe, don't react that way when you're not sure. Because you know who George Garth Brooks and George Strait are.
Yeah.
Yeah, so why'd you say who?
Go back to Chicago. This is not a debate that we can have with you, like, clearly. I'm a George guy. Wife's a Garth gal. You can't go wrong with either. Let's be honest. I think George got better songs. Garth probably puts on a better show.
Yeah, I've never seen George Strait going down a zip line.
He never played minor league baseball.
Yeah, that too. Or pretended he was a rock singer for a little while.
Spring training baseball. What was his name?
Dang it. I forgot now.
Gaines. Something
yeah,
Gaines,
yeah.
Wasn't
Chris
it?
Gaines. Chris Gaines. That's it.
What a weirdo.
He put like on the wig and then like dyed his facial hair black, had like a little soul patch, I think.
I'll be honest, I did not know that. And I'm looking at photos right now, and it's like, this is strange.
It was the midlife crisis.
Probably. Some junkies are weighing on the CJ Stroud thing. He looks like he can't go to the mall without a parent. He cut his hair. He's ready to get serious. CJ built like Roger from American Dad. Brian probably watches that. I don't watch that. Brian, you watch that?
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good that's a pretty good comp.
Brian, watch that. He's walking in like Daffy Duck thinking, I thought I saw a pootie tat. I don't really get that, if I'm honest. Can I have Jose Jorge deliver my car instead?
Yeah, for C.
It's possible.
Este? Amor? It's going to be a really short conversation with Jose.
Oh, I didn't realize he meant Jose Jorge.
Yeah.
I see. Junkie says neither one. How are you saying neither one on George or Garth? Those guys are legends. Stroud looks like John Legend now. Yeah, maybe a little thicker John Legend. Like a thick John Legend. So Nick Caserio talked today, Joe.
He did.
Most of it was about C.J. Stroud. Like, if anything, like, worth, you know, it's salt, worth its weight in salt, worth its weight in gold. Nick Caserio's opening monologue, by the way, I timed it, was 2 minutes and 55 seconds.
That's lengthy.
D'Amico Ryan's opening monologue today was 0 seconds.
Oh, he didn't give one?
Yeah, it's good.
No, which I love. He just walked to the podium and goes, fire away.
I kind of appreciate that.
I would do that if I were a coach.
It makes way more sense for the GM to give like the opening statement versus the coach.
Well, one guy likes to hear himself talk, the other guy doesn't.
Exactly. Yeah. Bingo. Brian nailed it. Nick Caserio loves the sound of his own voice. D'Amico's just there because he has to be there, you know? Like, if D'Amico Ryans was given the choice of not doing the presser versus doing the presser, do you think D'Amico would go up there?
No.
No. Because you know why? Because all he cares about is coaching ball, which I love that about him. He's my kind of hardo. Whereas Nick Caserio does every single media appearance that exists on the earth.
Yeah, he would still go to the podium.
Yeah. He goes to the podium and does opening monologue for 3 minutes. He does every national radio thing. He's on with PNP. Every so often. Like, the dude loves to talk. Loves to talk, Nick Caserio. But that's okay, because we like to make fun of the way he talks. Some of the things he's... And I I'm pro
they
Nick
can take
Caserio.
It and shove it.
I just want to say that, because it sounds like I'm, you know, hating on Nick, which I kind of am. But I like Nick Caserio as the Texans general manager. Like, I want him to be the Texans GM. Just want to be very, very clear on that. But today, a lot of it was about C.J. Stroud. The first question he got on Stroud was from Aaron Wilson, which... beef there. Aaron Wilson asked him about Stroud and a potential contract, and this answer actually caught me off guard.
Yeah, he's had a really good offseason. It's probably the best offseason he's had since he's been here. He's had a good attitude. He's been consistent. He's got the right mindset. I'd say we've definitely had productive conversations over the course of the spring. So, I mean, there's a possibility that something could come to fruition. So we'll work through it and, you know, see what happens.
What?
Yeah.
What?
They've had productive conversations.
I don't believe that at all.
Nick wouldn't lie about agent conversation. Nick would not. That's like, Nick lies a lot. You know, we don't know what a window is. We don't know what drafting by need is. Like, Nick says a lot of stuff that we know he doesn't even believe. But he wouldn't, in my opinion, he wouldn't lie about a potential conversation he's had with anybody, especially an agent. Like, I don't believe at all that he would say that and then, like, try to – it would, because it would tick off David Mulligetta. It would be disingenuous. And I don't think that he would do that at all, quite frankly. He has good relationships with agents, in fact.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. Like, it's – maybe if it was someone else, but especially with – because it's Mulligetta. And you know he hears everything, and he'll put you on blast on social media, too. Like, he will acknowledge that it's a total lie.
I think they could have talked, but I think the word that I push back on is productive. Like, what does productive mean? That kind of feels like a throwaway line to say, like, yeah, we're serious, we like them, but define productive.
that they've had conversations in terms of a contract and they've exchanged numbers and they're working to a middle ground?
See, I don't believe that just because of what we talked about all season. Like, they've been able to find these middle grounds with everybody and done it quickly. Uh-huh. Now, maybe that's because of Stroud's, the way last season ended, the reason why they're not able to work to that, because Casario's more caution, or showing more caution with Stroud. But I believe they talked, like, hey, where are you at? Hey, this is where we're at. But I think that's pretty much it. And the word productive is probably taking a little bit of a.
Yeah, I don't think he would lie. I don't think he would lie whenever he's talking about his conversation with an agent, because that could come back and bite him right in the butt. Like, I don't see that. Like, he had a good relationship with Mulligetta with Watson, right? The whole, like, okay, let's work together and finding him a trade that, you know, both parties are going to be happy with. You're basically picking the team. We're still going to get this great return. Nicole Lynn, who's the agent of Will Anderson, she had glowing things to say about Nick Caserio. No, they just made her client the highest paid non-quarterback of all time. Of course, you're going to say glowing things. But I think that's where Caserio would draw the line with, like, his little, like, you know, diarrhea of the mouth. I don't think he would get loose-lipped with and be disingenuous about conversations he's had with agents. In the productive part, okay, like, you know, they've had good conversations. He also said that there's a possibility that something could still get done.
Yeah, like that to me makes me feel like they've had actual, because they haven't met in the middle ground with anyone. They just pay everyone.
They do.
They pay Petrie. They paid Stingley. They paid Will Anderson. They just gave Daniel Hunter a big pay raise. Like
Aziz.
They just pay guys. They give
them top
three
of market for sure.
Money at worst. So, and we've said all offseason, is if they really love CJ, then they would just pay him, you know, the $55, $60 million, whatever it is. Maybe they're going to throw a curveball at us here. Like maybe they are actually having conversations of, we can't give you 60. This is what we're comfortable with. And maybe there's actual, like, a negotiation happening. It is that last part for me, too, of not ruling out that something happens.
Yeah.
I was surprised. Because in the past, when he's been asked about this offseason, about contracts, he's been much more shut off.
Yeah, he didn't talk about it at all. Like, I before today, if you were to ask me, if you asked me yesterday on the show, what do you think the odds are that C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans sign an extension before the start of the season? I would say like 5%. After hearing this from Caserio, I'm up to like 20-25%.
Yeah, I was going to say 30.
I think it's back on the table, and I wouldn't have said that prior to Nick Caserio talking today. And we know that he's loose-lipped. He says a lot of stuff that he even doesn't believe. But I think he draws the line whenever it comes to conversations with agents. I don't think that he would, because you're kind of throwing the agent under the bus there if they haven't had productive meetings. David Mulligetta is going to hear, like, that's going to get back to David Mulligetta. David Mulligetta is absolutely going to hear that. He's probably got, you know, interns that listen to every GM coach press conference in the league. So that would get back to him, and he's going to be like, what's up with this, man? And then all of a sudden it gets noisy. Like, I don't think Caserio would do that. He's too smart for that.
Yeah, so, and I think productive, too, is important in the context of kind of what's happening around the NFL, where it doesn't really feel like in Detroit, in Atlanta, there's productive conversations happening around the big contracts for Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson. CJ's here, and he's participating. Like, I think that also would give a sign that either they're aware a contract's not coming, or the conversations have been productive enough that CJ feels comfortable going to practice. Because a lot of players would not do that. A lot of quarterbacks would not be there today like he was. So, yeah, I'm at like 30% that it gets done now.
Yeah, I don't know. In the fourth year?
I think, yeah, I don't think he'd no show.
I think quarterbacks would.
Bryce isn't.
But they're talking about like $30 million for him. He also hasn't played that well.
Wouldn't that be more reason to hold out?
He has played nowhere near worth his value. Like, the stuff out of Carolina is like, Bryce seems like he is aware of his value and not over asking. Is what it feels like to me.
Yeah, but if he hadn't gotten a contract, he's not happy, right? Like, if we're playing the I want an extension, and I'm holding out if you don't give me an extension, the difference between Bryce and CJ is only the dollar figure. But if one's willing to accept a lower dollar figure, wouldn't he be just as unhappy?
One's played better at a point, significantly better than the other one.
Yeah, like, I mean, there's no argument there.
So it's like, I think they're like in a different tier of conversation because of what CJ had done in the past.
Although you could argue Bryce had a better year last year.
For sure. But not warranted enough to be talking about these big-time contracts the other guys would be getting. So I think it means something that he's there, personally. But
I mean, but wouldn't CJ Stroud, if we're saying that Bryce and Stroud were pretty equivalent last year statistically, and again, I wouldn't take Bryce over CJ, and Bryce was willing to take 30, but Stroud's asking for 60, wouldn't Bryce be more upset? He's like, hey, look, I'm taking 30 here. Like, I had the same season as a guy who's asking for 60. Like, I think that guy would be more insulted.
Yes.
Like, I think that Stroud would be more understanding. Okay, like, I get why you wouldn't pay me 60. Whereas Bryce would be like, why aren't you paying me 30? I'm taking half of a guy who's asking for 60, and I put up the same numbers as him.
Well, he might also just be happy he's their quarterback still.
I feel like you're being a little bit mean to Bryce.
Am I?
Yeah, I think he's a top 32 quarterback in the world.
Yeah, I mean, I think when we did the list last week, I think I had him one spot behind CJ.
Well, then wouldn't he be more insulted that you're not giving him 30 when the other guy's asking for 60?
I think he's more aware that he hasn't played well enough for, like, that big contract, and it's probably coming at some point.
Junkie says Baker's in the same boat and he's practicing. Not really the same boat.
No, he's going to hit free agency.
Yeah, he's going to hit free agency. Texans have CJ under contract next year. I think next offseason's where it could get really messy, assuming something isn't done. 713-780-ESPN. Did the chances of the Texans signing CJ Stroud to an extension before the season go up today, based on what you heard? We'll get to some DeMeco on the contract stuff. CJ Stroud talked about the contract stuff. Not going to be a distraction. But they also had other things to say, like, why did CJ have a good offseason? All of that. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN. 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I wake up every evening with a big smile on my face, and I never feel sad or play. You're still probably working at a 9-to-5 pace. I wonder how bad that tastes when you see my face. Hope it gives you hell. Hope it gives you hell.
You're back with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
713-780-ESPN. Rocky, CJ looks like he put. CJ looks like he put any weight he lost back on. As a pro athlete, he just looks unathletic and soft. Give me Hurts or Mayfield. He actually talked today about how he's lost some weight. Another junkie, we like Casario. In Casario, we trust. We know it could be way, way worse. I mean, Nick Casario is the best GM that the Houston Texans have ever had.
You always come in here with these down questions.
That was a positive thing.
I think Bill wants to.
Yeah, Bill was disagreeing with you.
Oh, I see. Any argument? Any pushback to Nick Casario is the best general manager in Houston Texans history?
No.
Not really. I mean, Rick Smith had a run of good first-round picks, but I would still take Casario.
There you go. It's settled. I forgot to mention our sweats of the day, by the way. We're on Milwaukee, San Francisco, over 7.5. Brian wanted us to play San Fran. We elected not to, so a little bit of a battle from within, some internal strife. And then we're also on the San Diego, Colorado over 8.5.
Correct.
That's nil-nil, middle of the third. And then we're on the Rockies money line as well. So we'll see how that goes. What'd you say?
What?
Did you say something?
Did I?
I have no idea. I thought I heard you say something. But
I forgot what I said, though.
What?
Did you mutter under your breath and think you're off mic?
No, we did the Rockies.
Yeah.
I didn't know we did that one.
And we did Rockies money line.
I don't remember.
Did y'all say not to?
I don't remember agreeing to that one in the chat, but
I thought Brian was on that one.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he said kind of like money line for both dogs.
Yeah.
I said out on San Francisco, so you got outvoted on that one, dog.
Oh, I just said same, that's why.
Yeah, there you go. Same. Yeah. We suggested
I just ignored the Rockies part of it. That's the problem.
There you go. Those are our sweat of the day, presented by nobody. Here is more Nick Casario. Actually, this is DeMeco. DeMeco saying that he doesn't get involved with player contracts extensions. Here's the captain.
When it comes to contracts, I really don't get into a lot of deep discussions with guys when it comes to the contract situation, because I truly believe the contract is. You get the contract by what you do on the field. It doesn't matter about what you say, what I say. It's about how you perform on the field. If you're worthy of getting a contract and you deserve it, it'll happen for you. But if you're worried about it, worrying is not going to change anything, right? It's about the actions about you put in, and it's about your body of work. and experience of what you've shown. It's not about just one moment when you get into contract negotiations. It's about the entirety of your work.
All right. Brian heard something here I think that I did not. You said that this was telling in some way.
Yeah, like there's a part in there where D'Amico said, like, if your play warrants it, I'm paraphrasing a little, but if your play warrants it, you'll get the contract. And what we've seen from the Texans, and I know it's Caserio, but I'm sure D'Amico's signing off on these as well, at least on the idea of giving them, paying them. Maybe not the exact dollar figure, of course. That's up to the GM and the agent. But we've seen, Petrie earned it on the field. Stingley earned it on the field. Anderson earned it on the field. Aziz, Nico. I don't think he said this intentionally, but by D'Amico saying, if you earn it on the field, you'll get paid, and CJ's not paid, is in a way accidentally saying CJ hasn't earned it on the field.
See, I thought he was talking more in generalities.
Yeah, that's kind of why I hear coach speak.
It could have been.
I'm just like, I don't talk to players about contracts.
That part I believe. But, I mean, he went the extra step of saying, it's probably his philosophy why he doesn't talk about contracts with players, because if you earn it, you get it. But I think in a passive way, he kind of accidentally said CJ hasn't earned it yet.
But Nick Caserio also said that they might get something done soon.
I know. You and I are going to disagree on that. Like, I think what Caserio said was kind of a perfect middle ground, because he can't come out there and said, yeah, we haven't talked to CJ's agent at all, because that comes off as, well, we don't believe in CJ, we're not interested in the contract. So he's got to give us something to the idea of they're talking about it, otherwise it puts CJ down. So what I thought Caserio said there was just a perfect middle ground of, yes, we like CJ, that's why we're talking about it, but we don't have a deal yet.
Okay.
So I didn't take that as they're actually considering signing CJ before
with the D'Amico one that we just heard. I feel like D'Amico kind of just got stuck and rambled at the end, to be honest.
I think
he just kind of rambled on there a little bit.
Yeah, I think he just kind of – it felt like he just gave his perspective of just basically like, I'm the coach, I'm not going to talk to you about your money, but if you play well, and don't worry about it.
And then he kind of got trying to land the plane. It took a little while. Maybe they had to round the runway a couple times. They had to circle the runway before he could land it. C.J. Stroud was asked about it. He said that this isn't going to be a distraction no matter what happens.
I'm focused on ball, trying to do what trying to just hold my bargain down on just the football side and do what I can, and what I should be doing as a quarterback of this team. So I'm letting them handle it, and it seems like everything is going great.
There you go. Stroud's going to hold his bargain down.
Seems like everything's going great.
He's going to hold his bargain down, C.J. Stroud. Caserio said that D'Amico had a great offseason, and then Will Kunkel asked, well, why? You know how Kunkel does. He likes to ask why. He likes to know why. Why did C.J. Stroud have a great offseason?
Yeah, I mean, he was here. He was healthy. He's had a good attitude. He's had a good approach. I mean, I think he started working in February, was here for the full offseason. Every offseason is a little bit different. So I'd say year two in the system, so kind of build on some of the things that, we did last season. So, I mean, he's had the right approach, he's had the right mindset, he practiced well. Training camp is kind of another step for our team. I'd say the spring was kind of a foundation, just kind of get everybody ready for training camp. So this is kind of a next step for our team in terms of our overall preparation.
Whenever Caserio gets a little diarrhea of the mouth at the end, that's whenever he's trying to defend somebody. Mm-hmm. That's his tell. Like, he was asked why he has a good offseason, and his answer was he was here, he was healthy, and he had a good attitude.
Yeah.
Thank you, Will, for asking that question.
So, great offseason. He was here. He was here in the flesh.
Yeah,
he was not hurt, and he didn't have a poor attitude. Great offseason. Best he's ever had.
And we know there's offseasons which he hasn't been there, and we know there's offseasons in which he hasn't been healthy. So check those boxes this offseason. That's good.
What an offseason, C.J. Stroud. He was here.
He's healthy.
Love to hear that about C.J. Stroud. He was
good
here.
Attitude.
This one's a little – this is – again, I have a tell where Caserio, when he's defending people, he gets a little bit long-winded. Check out this one about how C.J. Stroud has handled the criticism well.
People are going to form opinions, good or bad, of you. I mean, that's just the nature of the world in which we live. So, I mean, how you choose to handle that, I mean, we all handle it differently individually. So, CJ's a good kid. He cares a lot about playing good football. He cares a lot about this team and this organization. However he chooses to handle it, I'm sure he's got a good team around him, and that's, counseled him about how to handle things. Our job as a coach, general manager, organization is to support our players. We're always going to support our players. And we're going to be there for whatever they need. So, I mean, look, everybody's got an opinion this day and age, right, wrong, or indifferent. I'm sure people have an opinion of me. No problem. I mean, you know, respectfully, I don't really care. I mean, I'm not really in the opinion business. So what I try to do is just show up, have a good attitude, do the best I can every day. And I think that's all anybody can ask of anybody else. What else is said? When I would just say this, when you're not in a building, when you're not with an individual on a day-to-day basis, you really don't have all the information. So you can make judgments and cast aspersions and say whatever you're going to say, but sometimes it's out of context. So, look, that's just the world in which we live and how every individual handles that and how they process that. They're going to do whatever they feel, you know, is the best thing for them. So love having CJ here. I'm glad he's our quarterback, and, you know, we're going to support him like we're going to support our other players and do whatever we can, you know, to help them and make them the best version of themselves.
All right. Nick, we got to go. We're up against it. I do have some pushback on what he said. The opinion business and then the don't have all the info about a player. Also, D'Amico for the Twitchers. The Twitchers love D'Amico, so we got to give them some more D'Amico. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.